A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, babies. Welcome to Baby Geniuses. My name is Emily.
My name's Lisa Hannawalt.
Do I have a last name? My name's Emily Hannawalt. No, oh, Heller.
We got married. Surprise.
We got married. I am a bigamist.
Yeah.
I always forget that I'm married. Is that bad?
Do you wear a ring?
No.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to. I don't like wearing...
I don't think the ring is why I don't remember.
I mean, it's a good constant reminder, a thing like squeezing the life out of your finger. That's why I don't wear rings. They're so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think one time in therapy, I said I wasn't married, and she was like, And I was like, okay, let's not read too much into that.
When the therapist like wants to dwell on something and you're like, no, I don't feel like that at all. Let's not. That's not a thing.
No, it's like that was not a big deal.
Ugh. Don't look into it. Just let it go. How are you? I haven't seen you in a very long time.
Oh my God. Yeah, we have not recorded in like, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? No.
Basically a lifetime. I think it was
basically a lifetime.
I think 3 weeks. So much has happened.
So much has happened. I have a massive neighborhood update
for the
pod. We were arson victims.
Oh, God.
Our property was set on fire. Everyone is fine. We didn't lose anything valuable or anything not valuable.
You didn't lose anything.
We didn't lose anything.
It was a very bad arsonist.
Yeah.
Luckily.
We don't know their motivations, so it might have been success on their terms, but like we lost, you know, a fire extinguisher because we had to use it.
So you noticed it right away.
Here's what happened. We have a storage cube on our front yard, like because we're doing construction, we're building a guest house, and we tore down our garage, so we put everything that was in the garage in storage. And we just, like, rented one of those, like, temporary pods where it's, like, they deliver it to your house and you just fill it up and it just sits there. And it's just, like, a wooden box with, like, a plastic tarp with the name of the company on it, on the outside of it. And that's like, you know, a few feet from the property line. And at 3 a.m. on a Saturday night, it was like 2 weeks ago now, we woke up because Alan was barking his head off.
Oh, wow. Good boy.
And very good boy. And we knew that that meant something. And so then we realized he was barking because our next door neighbor was knocking on our door.
Whoa.
And I opened it and she was like, I just wanted to let you know that your box is on fire. And we looked out and like, it wasn't like a giant blaze. Like it was on fire,
Yeah. But
it wasn't like standing near it wouldn't make you like hot or
anything.
It wasn't
like a bonfire. It was just like a little.
No, I think probably like, yeah, it might have caught more fire if we had waited.
Mm-hmm.
But so I like grabbed the fire extinguisher that we keep under the sink and we went out. I was just like in my underwear. My next door neighbor thankfully had just gotten back from a night out and like
Wow. Just
noticed it because she got home at like 3 a.m. And yeah, we like went outside. I put the fire out with a fire extinguisher.
Awesome.
What they had done, first of all, let me just say, putting a fire out with a fire extinguisher is so fun.
Yeah,
it feels so cool. It is exactly as awesome as you think it would be because it's very intuitive, and it's like you push down on a thing and a giant blast comes out.
Yeah.
And then it puts out a fire and it's incredibly effective, and it's like I just felt so fucking cool. And afterward I was like, Peter, did I look cool? And he was like, I was not looking at you.
Damn it, he should have been filming it.
I know,
Peter, come on. Your husband duties is filming your wife when she's doing something awesome.
He was a little worried about the fact that someone had committed a crime.
Yeah. It is, that's really upsetting.
I mean, it is upsetting. It was hard to be upset because it was so fun putting the fire out.
Yeah.
But
it's just like, why? Why would they do that?
It was really senseless. That's the thing, is like, I don't know. Maybe I should feel more scared, but like, they weren't trying to rob us. Mm-mm. They weren't trying to, like, I don't know what they were trying to do. It was a very senseless crime. And that makes me think, like, either it can happen at any time, or it'll never happen again. And it's like,
maybe it was a teen. They're always up to no good.
Well, there have apparently been, like, and this is where it's a neighborhood update. The next day I was walking Alan, and we passed by my neighbor who lives like a block away, but like on a parallel street. Mm-hmm. And she had her, like, black garbage bin just burned to the ground.
Whoa, okay.
Just completely melted into, like, a little flat cube, or, like, a flat, like, square. And I saw her, like, the next day, and I asked her about it, and she said that it happened Saturday night at 3 a.m.,
wow,
which is, like, when our fire happened. Like, I think when we finally, like, got the fire out, it was, like, 3:30, so, like,
did any of you like same. Catch anything on like a camera or anything like that? Just too bad.
Nope. But like,
I'm just curious.
I know. I'm curious too. Like, I asked around, none of my neighbors have like Ring cameras or anything. Mm-hmm. My next door neighbor on the other side has like a security camera, but they only turn it on when the daycare is running.
Right.
Like, it's just for like letting the parents in. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't capture anything. And
it's weird because it was clearly just someone doing it for the sake of lighting a fire. Like, they weren't trying to, like, I don't know. It just seems like they were having fun.
Yeah.
Pure,
like,
pure
I
arson.
Don't know. We cannot know their motivations.
Yeah.
It just seems like either there is, like, yeah, either it was mischief or it was illness or it was, you know.
Yeah.
Like, just totally fucking random. But, like, I went on Nextdoor because I was just like, I just want to know if there's like an answer.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I didn't call the police because fuck the LAPD. I'm not calling them about shit.
No.
And also it's like over, you know. But I tried calling the fire department and they didn't get back to me. And I posted on Nextdoor just being like, here's what happened. Please do not speculate in the comments if you don't have any information about who did it.
Good luck trying to stop people from doing that.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, it was like fucking pointless. It was just like, of course, everyone in the comments immediately was like, well, there's a bunch of homeless people living by the river. And it's like,
yeah, we know. But why would
that has nothing to do. And also, it's like we have a guy in our neighborhood who is very clearly mentally ill, mm-hmm. who kind of sometimes walks up and down the streets like yelling at people, mm-hmm. and he's got a home.
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all, the most unstable person in our neighborhood is housed.
Yeah.
Like, let's not jump to any conclusions there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, point is, someone else on Nextdoor was like, someone tried to set my car on fire. And I'm in touch with the LAFD arson department. And
wow.
So I emailed with that guy, mm-hmm. and I don't know if anything's going to come of it. But the funniest thing was that, like, so I have been doing a 5-year journal.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think we've talked about. And, like, some days I sit down at the end of the day and I'm like, what the fuck even happened today?
Yeah.
Nothing happened today. And then the day after that happened, Peter was like, what are you even going to write? It's like, I'm dining out on this story for months, you guys.
I'm glad you were unharmed and that your things were unharmed.
Thank you. Yeah. And so, that's the thing, is like only the plastic cover on it burned.
Yeah.
And then the box underneath was just like charred, but nothing inside got damaged.
No harm, which no foul.
Yeah. Like it smells a little smoky, but it also made me think like, what in there would I actually be sad to lose? Maybe one thing. Yeah.
Our neighborhood, there's like a bunch of teens who've been going around like tagging trash cans by drawing like dicks and stuff. And some people are really upset about it to the degree that they've like posted like their Ring camera pictures of the kids and like,
oh my God,
on like flyers and put tacked them up. Which I've like ripped down when I've seen because they're children. Yeah. And I just think that's really weird to just sort
that's very fucking weird.
Vigilante style, like go after some kids. And they,
yeah,
they got my trash can and they drew a dick and a pussy on it. And I like it.
Yeah. They found the right house to do that too.
Yeah. Please come back. Finish your art. Tag the whole thing. Keith Haring style, just draw like a tessellation of dicks. I don't care. It's a trash can. It like barely, it doesn't even really belong to me. Like the trash cans belong to the city, so I don't care what's on it.
The trash cans belong to the night. I will say it is like, look, the theme of this like neighborhood roundup is I need a fucking fence. And if anything has taught me, because our next door neighbors also have storage cubes right now and theirs didn't get burned. And it's because they have a fence. Mm. I'm like, just any small barrier to stop that just absolutely pointless mischief.
Yeah.
But
and they'll set fire to your fence.
I don't think they, not if it's like metal.
Yeah. A metal fence. Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
or brick.
That's the situation.
Can't burn brick.
Yeah. This is what we've learned from. Oh, no, that wasn't fire. I was just thinking of the Three Little Pigs.
I know. Yeah. I was too. What have we learned?
It's not time for what did I learn yet.
I went to New York.
Oh, yeah.
It was nice. I hadn't been there in
a
while.
The Big Apple.
I went to the Big Applesauce. It was great. Yeah, I hadn't been there in years. And we went at like the perfect time because, you know, the leaves were turning and it was just beautiful. So beautiful and fun. And I loved it. And we went to like a restaurant upstate. And this is just funny. But like I asked for ketchup at the restaurant because I got tater tots. And then the waitress said, right, we don't have any ketchup in the restaurant because the chef used to work at a restaurant in the city where he cooked meats perfectly. And then he had to watch the customers like pour ketchup all over these perfectly cooked meats. So now he has like a no ketchup rule. I was like, okay.
Okay, so why are fucking tater tots on the menu?
No, exactly. I'm eating tater tots and the sauce they gave me was a spicy aioli. So why is aioli okay, but ketchup isn't? I just
what
think,
the fuck?
Like, chefs are out of control. Can we say this? They're, like, completely out of control.
Is that, it's because of the bear, you think?
Yeah, I think it's because of the bear. I think it precedes the bear. I think the bear is, like, picking up on this, like, phenomenon.
Of chefs being out of control?
Yeah. I think, you know, it depends. Like, I think, like, we also went to Xi'an Famous Foods, which is, like, my favorite place ever.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
So good. But I can't eat wheat or gluten right now because it makes me really sick. And so I asked him, I was like, could I get the soup without the noodles in it? Like, can I just get the spicy lamb cumin? And they were like, no, we can't make any changes to anything. And I was like, okay, that's totally fine. You guys have like a super specialized pipeline. I don't want to mess with that. So I just got it. And then I just pulled the noodles out and gave them to Adam. You know, like I yeah, totally respect that. I respect when restaurants are like, we can't really, you know, make changes. But to not yeah, have ketchup when I'm,
ketchup.
I'm eating a burger and tater tots.
That's so stupid.
It's so pretentious.
Yeah. It's like, it's one thing if it's like you're in a fucking, you know, Chinese restaurant that doesn't have ketchup.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that, you know, like.
So this is like American style food. And also ketchup is amazing. Like.
Yeah. There's like scientific reasons why ketchup is amazing.
It's so good. It hits every flavor profile. It's sweet.
Yeah.
It's salty. It's umami. It's so good. And I don't want homemade, I don't want house-made ketchup either. I want Heinz.
Yeah. House-made ketchup is very rarely going to be
as good.
As good as Heinz.
Yeah. I'll take it. I'll take it in a pinch.
I had so, you know, we had been talking about the fact that I have diarrhea on the show.
Yeah, how's that going?
I have more research to do, but so after I went to the doctor, a few weeks ago, and you know, he was like, why don't you try cutting out a few different things? Mm-hmm. And like one of the things on the list was fruit. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing I cut out, and my diarrhea immediately got better.
Yeah.
And I looked it up, and like there is something called dietary fructose intolerance. Mm-hmm. That you can develop at any point in your life where all of a sudden your body's just like, yeah, no, you can't eat fruit anymore or you'll get diarrhea.
Yeah, doesn't that suck?
It sucks ass. It sucks. Do you ass. Have it? You've heard of it?
Yeah, I have to be careful about what fruits I eat, for sure. Ones that are high in fructose, high FODMAP, I can't really eat. So I have to avoid, what is it, like fruit with like pits, you know, like plums and.
Yeah, is like mainly what I was eating.
I know.
I was making
so
myself
good.
A fruit salad with like peaches and plums and mangoes.
So good. Watermelon is a big one. So a lot of berries are good, like strawberry, although it's high histamine. Raspberries are good. You know, the ones with little seeds that you hate, those ones are fine.
Yes.
Ugh. Apples are pretty rough, depending. They're a little hard to digest.
Oh,
but it's like, you know, it's good for you to know that. And then maybe you can just indulge once in a while and just be like, okay, today I'm going to just, it'll be a little looser, you know? And maybe it won't be as bad because you're not doing it every single day.
Yeah.
So things have,
which I was doing.
Yeah.
I was starting my day with like a pro diarrhea diet.
Totally. So if you don't do it every day, things might be a little more calm on the off chance that you feel you need to eat a peach. But yeah, it sucks. No, it really sucks to be able to digest less things as you get older. It sucks so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Brother. And not good. Very upsetting news. But yeah, I'm glad that I have you as my guru.
As your diarrhea friend.
As my diarrhea friend who can tell me all about what lays ahead for enjoying my life less.
I'm full of recommendations if there's stuff you have trouble eating. I've really found some new things that I can eat and learned to enjoy them, even though they're sad. Gluten-free bread? Oh, brother.
Oh, brother.
Such small,
I wonder
small
if
little
I need
toast.
To... start with the gluten question too, or like just try, because he was like, there's a bunch of things you can try eliminating, and
that's a big one. It's a really big one.
Yeah.
And I thought for a while, I was like, maybe if I just eat a little, it's fine, but no, it makes me feel pretty bad.
Yeah.
And not just like diarrhea, but also like foggy headed, and like my allergies get worse and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like my allergies are really bad. I'm getting an allergy test for the first time in my life.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so, like...
Where they do the little, like, they prick
the
you.
The little pricks. Yeah, they, like, put a little spider on you that... It's like a little white plastic spider with a bunch of little points on it.
I'm emotionally allergic to spiders. Not physically.
I would have done it, like, the day of, but they didn't tell me that I had to stop taking, like, antihistamines for a week beforehand.
That makes sense.
Or they technically did because they sent me the paperwork immediately, but I didn't open it. And they weren't like, hey, just so you know, you know, like, I opened it the day before.
Yeah, of course.
But so I made another appointment. So for the next week, I'm not going to be able to, like, take any pills that make me feel good.
Oh, no. I've been taking a lot of antihistamines because I got sick for the first time in 3 years. And it
because you were traveling.
I was traveling and like I was all good. And then I think we were staying with friends who have young children. And I swear that's what got me.
I got like they're picking up everything.
I know. And they were like pretending to be puppies and trying to lick me and stuff. So gross. They're so cute.
Oh, no.
But like, oh my God.
But yeah.
They're disease vectors. And so I like on the flight back, my throat started to get so sore. And I was like, ah, fuck.
Oh, no.
Got my ass. And it was like a respiratory, like, it was like a cold, like a horrible cold.
Maybe it was RSV.
I think it maybe was. It just felt like my head was like, had been stung by a million bees for a week. It was like,
oh, no.
Just so congested and like such a sore throat. And I was so tired. It was crazy.
Oh, God.
But I kept testing and it wasn't COVID. I tested like 6 times.
That's good, I guess. I mean, it's like it still sucks to be sick.
I know. Part of me wanted it to be COVID just to get that over with. But, you know.
Right. Because then you could be like, OK, Thanksgiving, I'm good to go.
Yeah. There's a lot of illnesses going around right now.
There are. Yeah.
It's safe out there.
I don't feel great. But I don't know if that's just normal being alive.
Yeah.
When I went to the allergist, he was like, so why are you here? And I was just like, I want to not feel bad.
Yeah. It's so hard to diagnose why you feel like shit, because there's so many reasons.
Right.
I went to the doctor recently and my thyroid's all fucked up again. So I had to up my thyroid medication, which feels great.
Oh, it feels good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh, I have more energy now. Great. That's what was missing.
Great.
But also various vitamin deficiencies.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
I got blood work done and it was normal, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh. Yeah, maybe the allergies.
Yeah.
It's fruit again. It's always fruit.
Fruit's ruining me.
Oh, I have a really great indoors horse today that's very strongly related to this.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Indoors horse.
Baby geniuses indoors, letting nature take its course. Endorphins pump from the source when they hop up on that horse. Two babies, one indoors horse.
Indoors horse.
Endorsing services and items, no remorse. Two babies, one indoors horse.
Indoors horse.
Riding off into the sunset, now here's something we endorse.
Okay, my endorse horse this week is applerankings.com. And this...
Oh, Brian Frangie's website?
Yes, this is a website by Brian Frangie, who's a really great comedian and writer, who I love. And he rates apples, different kinds of apples. And it's so funny. And he does a little write-up for each one and, like, taste test them and stuff. And his favorites, I believe, are the Sweet Tango.
Sweet Tango, yes, which is hard to find.
Hard to find. They're very seasonal. So I think right now, I think basically this is like the last week to really find them if you can find them in a grocery store. They only come around like October, beginning of November, yeah. And then they're gone.
So if you're a fucking asshole who can digest fructose, have a great week.
Have fun. Sweet Tangos are so good that I will eat them, even though I can't properly digest them. But I love like his write-ups of the ones he doesn't like. Like he describes Red Delicious as coffee grinds in a leather glove. Which is true. Those are shit apples.
Yeah. You don't name your apple Red Delicious if it's actually good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to imagine Granny Smith is bad too.
Yeah, I think those are pretty
pretty low.
Pretty
low. He likes Fuji's, right?
I don't remember. I was confused.
I think they're like number 3 or something on his list.
Oh, really? I always confuse Fuji with Gala, so I don't remember which one's which.
Oh.
Their
Fuji's are good.
There was a recent one. He was just like, these are horse food. And he doesn't really go into...
Did you find that offensive?
No. I was like, great. Good to know. Helpful to me. He doesn't really go into like which ones are good for like pies or whatever. It's not that kind of website. So don't go there. Go to Cooks Illustrated if you want to know that. This is for eating apples.
Okay, wait, yeah. I'm on applerankings.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look up Fuji
to see where it sits.
Yeah.
Pick an apple.
Oh, wow. Horse food. 48. He doesn't like it.
Oh, this wow. What this is the Fuji?
Yeah. I'm very surprised.
Yeah, not so good.
But he likes Gala and Pink Lady. Okay.
Oh, Pink Lady.
Yeah.
What about Honeycrisp? Where's Honeycrisp? Oh, the worldwide favorite, 91. Superb.
Wow.
Wow, that's really high.
Yeah.
That's like just under Sweet Tango. Sweet Tango gets a 93.
Yeah.
Although, update 2022, a chink in the armor. As the crops have matured and potentially expanded, there has been a marked decrease in consistency and appearance. One commenter on this website described its appearance as shabby, which I tend to agree with. So it's been downgraded from 95 to 93.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting that like each year they would vary in quality. That makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting.
I love it.
I also have a similar endorse horse, I guess.
Mm.
I have been really enjoying this TikTok account called Chef Reacts.
Oh.
Have you seen this guy?
Yes, I love him.
I love him so much. He's so funny. He's so funny.
He reminds me a little of Martin Starr in his delivery. Just a little bit.
Yeah, he's very monotone, very flat. And what he does is he just posts like reaction videos to like TikTok cooking videos.
I'm addicted.
And it's like, I'm addicted. I watched like 30 of them last night.
Yeah, I'll watch it for hours. Like, he's great. Yeah.
Where he just like watches them making it and comments on it. And it's like, it's either he's commenting on like those horrendous like cooking hacks that are terrible and just tearing them apart, or he's watching those like outrageously perfect Amari Guichon chocolate videos and just like feeling really inferior and complaining about how good he is. And either way, it's really funny. And
it's so good. And then people are like, why don't you post a video of yourself cooking? He says, never, never.
But there's also like useful information.
Yeah.
Like he compliments when people have good technique, and then he like tells you what they're doing wrong. And
yeah, like when he's always commenting on like their knife skills and stuff. I love that.
Yeah. Where he's like, don't cut toward your hand. That's the loudest he ever gets, is when someone's about to like cut their hand.
Yeah. It's really great. He's the new Gordon Ramsay. Heard it here first.
He's really good. That's my endorse horse. Should we do Chunch Chat?
Yeah. Oh my God. I was just realizing that we need to talk about Love Island, but let's not do it this episode. Let's do it next time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Lisa is deep into the most recent Love Island season, which is the first season you've ever watched.
Yeah. My first introduction
to it. Which is just unbelievable to me. It just feels
wrong.
And you also started watching it and didn't text me right away, which I think is a violation of our relationship.
I was really sick when I started watching it. I was like, okay, now's the time. And
baby, you're only gonna get sicker the more you watch.
I wanted to let it like sink in a little before I texted you, because I was like, I'm gonna have questions. I want to like
right,
and I want to know if I'm gonna keep watching this or if I'm gonna quit right away, because that would be rude to text you like, hey, I'm watching your favorite thing.
The thing is, like, even like after we started talking about it, like after a while, I could tell you weren't at like the biggest moments
yet.
Yeah,
absolutely. I was still early days. The things they say are so insane. And now I love them all, and they're like my friends.
Yeah, they're your type on paper. Let's do Chunch Chat.
Oh, yeah, Chunch Chat.
It's time for Chunch Chat, a regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunch.
Chunch.
When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about Chunch. Chunch.
Everyone's sending me this ad, Martha's done, where she's wearing an apron and nothing else. A lot of people are excited about that. I don't care about that.
Yeah, you guys, we know Martha sells a million products.
A million things. And she's sexy. I know. Here's what I do care about. She went for a horsey ride and she captioned it. Some friends came today for an autumnal trail ride around the farm. They actually purchased this opportunity at the local Boys and Girls Club gala. We all did well. And it's just like a lineup of people on horseback in her courtyard. And the two people on the far left, their horses' hooves are gold. And I'm like, are they painted or are they wearing boots? I think they're wearing boots. I had to zoom in.
Okay.
But they're both on Frisians. She's on a Frisian.
They're just little spats.
Yeah.
Are just clipped around.
Yeah, I think they're gold boots, which might be like protective trail boots or something. But yeah, that's really cute. And then there, wow. She had a video. I don't know if it was like a TikTok or a reel, but she was riding one of her Frisians around her maze again, her burgeoning hedge maze. So that seems great. I would love to do that. When am I going to be invited? I ask.
Yeah.
I ask regularly.
The universe.
But yeah, that's it.
All right. Does that conclude Chunch Chat?
Yep.
That concludes Chunch Chat. We'll be right back with One on Fun.
Ooh.
All right, Lisa, I thought of a very special Halloween one-on fun question for you.
Oh, yeah. It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about Halloween at all.
I know. Not at all.
Yeah. I finally figured out a costume very last minute.
Oh, yeah.
I am Columbo.
That's right. That looked great.
Yeah, and I was going to go to a party last night, but the person who was hosting it got COVID, so I didn't do anything.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I do think I'm going to maybe dress up on Monday and go trick-or-treating with my nieces and nephew.
Oh, that sounds really fun.
Yeah, or I'll just go over there. I don't know. And they're definitely not going to recognize my costume at all.
We went out last night and didn't have, I have my one parrot costume that I can just throw on in a pinch. So I did that. And then right. Adam was like, I don't know, I could be a cat. I can just paint whiskers on my face. So I ran to a pop-up Halloween shop in Glendale and to find him cat ears. Because I'm you need one accessory or else it's just disrespectful. You need something
right.
to show an effort. And it was the worst place I've ever been in my life. It was this horrible, twisted maze inside a warehouse. And people were it was so crowded. It was terrible.
On principle, I won't go to those places.
I hate the ready-made costumes. I'm always tempted. I'm ooh, I could be a sexy cow. But then it's this horrible, the fabric's so awful and it's so expensive and it's just wasteful and bad.
Everything just feels flammable and
super
flammable. Uncreative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Lisa.
Yeah.
Is there what Halloween costume could Adam wear that would make you not want to kiss him for the longest amount of time afterward?
Oh. What's the most unappealing thing to me? I think if it involved barf, if he somehow made it look like there was barf dribbling down his mouth, maybe some kind of exorcist thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That would be it. Because I hate barf so much.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my answer.
I thought about being Barf from Spaceballs for Halloween.
Oh, that's cute.
I couldn't have gotten it together in time.
Oh, that would have been adorable. And then you get to wear, he's got, kind of a jumpsuit. Is that what he's wearing?
He's got, a brown jumpsuit. We just watched that.
Does it hold up?
It holds up pretty well. There's a lot of jokes that are still good in it.
It was, my favorite when I was a kid. We watched it so much.
It's still pretty funny. Because Peter and I both just read the Mel Brooks memoir.
Yeah.
And, there's a whole Spaceballs chapter. And I was like, oh, yeah, we should watch Spaceballs. It's been a long time. And Peter's seen it, 8 million times. And I think I had only seen it, once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I should rewatch it. I think Spaceballs is the only Star Wars-related thing I can tolerate.
Yeah.
Sorry, Andor.
There's a lot of jokes in it where it's just, I guess that's a joke where you're why is he named Barf?
Yeah.
What? There's no explanation for why he's named Barf.
Because it's so funny.
It's it's not a play on Chewbacca at all.
No.
It's just.
Yeah, that one, I think it's just because it's super funny, right? I don't know.
Right. It's just because it's Barf is a funny word. It's it's kind of cool that it's a movie that they were just this is for children. Sure.
Yeah. It worked. It hit. Emily.
Yes.
What's your favorite? I know you don't love super scary movies, but what's your favorite spooky, creepy movie if you were to pick one to watch on Halloween?
Get Out, probably.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Get Out is so good.
It's so good.
I mean, yeah. Parasite's also really good.
Ooh,
that's kind of spooky.
That counts for sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there are any more sort of... you know, paranormal ones that I like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what I saw recently that I really liked was The Babadook.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Do you think I'd like it?
I'd been wanting to watch it for years, and I finally built up the courage. I was scared. You know, I was worried it'd be too scary. And it is scary, but it's more psychological. There isn't that much that's scary visually. And it's really upsetting and sad, you know, so.
Okay.
But it was super good. I really liked it. I'm still thinking about it.
All right.
There is some stuff with a dog that I didn't like.
Oh,
spoiler,
yeah.
I'm no.
I'm sensitive to dog things now.
Yeah, I think you might be sensitive to this.
Yeah.
It's not.
But
it's
I like
not,
the name. I like the name Babadook.
I know. That's the best thing about it. I love the Babadook. Yeah, the dog part is not graphic, but it is like emotionally upsetting.
Yeah. Okay.
You've been warned.
All right. Does that conclude? Wait, did you ask me a question?
Yeah. Movies.
Okay.
We did it.
That concludes One on Fun. We will be right back with Wiki of the Week.
Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Our comedy podcast, Jordan Jesse Go, just celebrated its 15th anniversary.
It was a couple months ago, but we forgot.
Yeah, completely. Our silly show is 15 years old. That makes it old enough to get its learner's permit.
And almost old enough to get the talk.
Wow, I hope you got the talk before then. A lot of things have changed in 15 years. Our show's not one of them.
We're never changing, and you can't make us.
Jordan, Jesse, Go, the same forever at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, it's Annabelle Gurwitch.
And I'm Lara House. We host Tiny Victories, the 15-minute podcast that's about the little things.
Getting into the tiny victory frame of mind is about recognizing minor accomplishments and fleeting joys.
Isn't it a wonderful day when the first password you try actually works?
When it's freezing cold outside and toasty as all get out in my shower, my tiny victory is that I turn off the water and get on with my day.
We can't change this big dumb world, but we can celebrate the tiny wins.
So join us on Maximum Fun or wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's get tiny!
Welcome to Wiki of the Week. This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by Anna Kutkasi. I don't know if that's how your name is pronounced, but I'm going to do it. And it is the Wikipedia page for Walburga Österreich.
Who is that?
Sorry, hang on. Walburga Österreich, nee, Korschel, born in 1880, died in 1961, nicknamed Dolly and Queen of Los Angeles. Oh, hello.
I thought I was the Queen of Los Angeles.
Have we recorded since the Queen died, by the way?
I don't know.
It's been a long time since we recorded. I have no sense of time anymore. I think we probably have.
I don't have much to say about that, except that it's kind of funny that she made sure that her pony was going to watch the proceedings of the funeral. So her, like, pony is standing there, like, being held, like, made to watch.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know about that, yeah. But of course you did.
Of course I did. That was definitely what I narrowed in on. I don't know anything else that happened.
Okay.
But we're talking about the Queen of LA.
Yes. She was a German-born American housewife married to a wealthy textile manufacturer, Fred William Österreich. Born December 8th, 1877, died August 22nd, 1922.
Oh, he died a lot
earlier than she did.
Earlier
than
she did. My goodness.
who gained notoriety for the shooting death of her husband and the subsequent bizarre revelation that she had kept her lover, Otto Sanhuber, hidden in the attic of the home she shared with her husband for 10 years.
Oh, wow. That's why he died a lot earlier. She shot him.
She shot him. Yeah.
I should have just waited 1 second. No, I mean, we definitely review these carefully before doing them. God. Background. Österreich was born Walburga Korschel in 1880 to German immigrant parents. It is unclear if she herself was born in Imperial Germany or shortly after her parents arrived in the U.S. She grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, area among a community of fellow German immigrants. At age 12, Walburga worked at the textile mill of Fred William Österreich, another German immigrant who had become successful and frequently hired fellow immigrants in his factories. Walburga was by all accounts an attractive and charismatic girl with many friends among the factory workers. She quickly attracted Fred's notice. Oh, and the two married when she was 17.
That was like not that unusual for the time. He was only 3 years older than her.
Oh, okay. What?
Is that true? It says that he was born in 1877 and she was born in probably.
Wow. How did he own a textile mill at age 15?
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe
these dates might be a little messed up.
Yeah. Or maybe his dad owned it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, as his wife, Walburga remained popular among her husband's workers, often peacefully resolving labor disputes by acting as intermediary to the more distant and unlikable Fred.
Okay.
Doing the emotional work for her husband.
Yeah. From the beginning of the marriage, Walburga was rumored to have invited many lovers into her home during the day while Fred worked at the mills. In 1913, when she was 33... Walburga was introduced to Otto Sanhuber, a 17-year-old sewing machine repairman who worked for her husband. She invited Sanhuber to her house to fix her sewing machine, beginning an intense affair. To avoid suspicion from the neighbors, Walburga explained that Sanhuber was her vagabond half-brother.
This is so messy.
It's so messy.
Gradually, the need to conceal the relationship from both Fred and the neighbors led to Sanhuber moving into the Osterreich's attic, which was accessible through a panel in the ceiling of the closet of the bedroom Walburga shared with her husband. Oh my God.
When
the pussy's so good, you're willing to live in the attic. Good Lord. Sanhuber was supplied with a cot, food, a lamp, books, and writing materials. During the day, he would perform housework in the residence. At night, he would live in total silence in the attic, reading and writing science fiction stories, which Walburga would mail to potential publishers for him. Sanhuber would later describe himself as Walburga's sex slave and claimed they made love up to 8 times a day.
That's the housework he was doing.
Uh-huh. Fred.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Fred remained unaware of Sanhuber's presence in the house.
This is a spooky Halloween page, I'd say.
It's a little spooky.
In 1918, the Osterreichs moved to Los Angeles. Walburga agreed to the move on the condition that she would choose their new home, deliberately picking a house with an attic, a rarity in Los Angeles. This is so, so elaborate.
Her husband didn't wonder why she needed that attic.
Yeah, but also, it's like, I feel like you could figure out something else, too. It's like, why not pick one with a pool house or, you know?
Yeah.
Sanhuber moved ahead of the Osterreichs and was already installed in the Los Angeles attic prior to their arrival, where his affair with Walburga resumed.
This is wild.
This is wild. This man did not see sunlight.
Murder. On August 22nd, 1922, after overhearing a loud argument between the Osterreichs and believing Walburga to be in danger, Sanhuber emerged from the attic and retrieved 2 .25 caliber pistols from the bedroom bureau. In the ensuing struggle, Sanhuber shot Fred 3 times, killing him. The two lovers then hastily staged the scene to look like a botched burglary. Walburga gave Sanhuber all the cash in the bedroom, as well as Fred's diamond watch. Sanhuber then locked Walburga in a closet, tossed aside the key before returning to the attic with the money, watch, and pistols. Upon being summoned by neighbors who reported the gunshots, the police, unaware of Sanhuber's presence in the house, strongly suspected Walburga's involvement in the murder, but were unable to explain how she could have locked herself in the closet. Mm-hmm, that is smart.
That is smart. After the murder, Sanhuber continued to live in the attic for another 8 years. The only notable change in the relationship was that Sanhuber was permitted a typewriter, as there was no longer anyone to hear it. By this time, Walburga was also carrying on an affair with her personal attorney, Herman Shapiro, whom she had hired after being suspected for Fred's murder. In 1930, Shapiro became suspicious after Walburga gave him the diamond watch she reported stolen by the burglars who murdered her husband.
Whoa.
She stated that she had later found the watch in the front yard and that the thieves must have dropped or abandoned it during their escape.
Sure, okay. Sure. Where did this guy go to the bathroom in the attic?
I mean, look, was that question on my mind from the first introduction? I think he just didn't go while he was up there. He would come down into the house during the day.
I don't know. You got to pee sometimes. I bet he had a bucket.
Definitely jars, I guess. I mean, gross. This was also a time when I think a lot of people were just throwing their piss out the window, right? When were toilets invented? No one answer that.
In the 30s? I don't know. Or the 20s? Roy Klum, another of Wahlberg's lovers, damn girl, soon discovered that she was having an affair with Shapiro. He went to police and informed them that Wahlberga had given him a pistol shortly after the murder, asking him to dispose of it in the La Brea tar pits. A neighbor also told police that Wahlberga had given him yet another pistol shortly after the murder, asking him to dispose of it because it too closely resembled the gun that killed her husband, and she did not want to get into trouble. The neighbor buried the pistol under a rose bush in his garden. Police were able to recover the pistols from both locations. Although badly decayed, both weapons were determined to be of the same caliber that killed Wahlberga's husband. She was arrested under suspicion of murder.
Wow. While in jail, Wahlberga confided to Shapiro that her vagabond half-brother was living in the attic of her home and requested he check on his well-being. Upon knocking on the trapdoor leading to the attic, he was greeted by a thin, pale, but cordial Sanhuber, who explained his true relationship with Wahlberga and eventually confessed to his role in the murder.
Wow.
Sanhuber was arrested and tried for manslaughter. The unusual circumstances of the case soon reached the press, where Sanhuber was dubbed the Batman.
Batman!
This is the origin of Batman!
No. Sanhuber was convicted of manslaughter, but later released because the statute of limitations had expired. He changed his name to Walter Klein and moved to Canada, where he married another woman, then eventually relocated back to L.A. and lived the remainder of his life in obscurity. Wahlberga's trial ended in a hung jury, with most of the jurors leaning towards acquittal, and in 1936, the indictment against her was finally dropped. She remained in L.A. until her death in 1961 at age 80.
Wow.
She got away with it.
Media. Wahlberga's story inspired the feature film The Bliss of Mrs. Blossom, as well as two made-for-TV movies, 1995's The Man in the Attic with Neil Patrick Harris, and in 2018, Lover in the Attic with Molly Burnett. Wahlberga was also the subject of a 2017 episode of the series A Crime to Remember.
And now, yes. Wow.
Wow. I really like the picture of her on this page. I also want to know why she was called the Queen of Los Angeles. There's just no information in this page about how she got that nickname.
I know. Why on earth? It didn't seem like she was particularly well known.
Yeah. Or that, like, Los Angeles was a very big part of her identity or anything.
Why the hell?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up just to see if anything. I mean, I don't know. This is a mystery.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's very weird. Thank you for sending that. That concludes Wiki of the Week.
Yeah,
it's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
What I learned from the Three Little Pigs is that brick doesn't get blown or burned down if you're building a fence.
Yeah, you learned that from not this show.
No, but it is something I learned, and then I remembered in the course of recording.
That is a willful misinterpretation of what this segment is supposed to demonstrate.
That's just your opinion.
I guess I do feel like I have some authority on this. I mean, you do too, I suppose, and I feel like you're shirking it. I learned that some horses wear gold shoes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that before.
And of course, Martha knows them.
Of course. It's honestly surprising that it took this long.
Yeah. Why doesn't her horse have gold shoes?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Too flashy.
I feel like there was something else I was going to talk to you about today.
We do have some email sign-offs.
Oh, God, yes. Thank you for these. These make me feel so upset and happy.
We were talking about the same time. We were talking about embarrassing email sign-offs from, like, the early aughts.
The early days of email. Yeah.
And some of you sent them. So this one person wrote, had a lovely time browsing through old emails, took a minute to find any sign-offs, and I found this gem. I added my goodbye before my sign-off as well. So they wrote, stay awesome, stay cool, stay shiny and brand new, or something. Yow, yow, yow. Love. And then they have just like a whole bunch of other stuff. Shannon Crazy needs to go record song before I have to get ready for bed 1 minute ago. And there's all kinds of like arrows and greater than symbols that don't make sense. And just the formatting is like completely nonsensical. Oh, yeah, that's really bad. Thanks for sending.
Really bad. Thank you so much.
And then I have one more. This was mine in 2008. The only thing that makes it bearable is that I was 12 at the time. If I remember correctly, it started off as just the first three lines and I kept adding to it. I think after a year or so, I changed it to just, I rule, smiley face. but it's lots of love for all my pals and gals. You're totally awesome, Kate. P.S. No pervs are included in this, so don't think that I love you too. And then just like a bunch of weird symbols. P.P.S. Read Twilight or else. By the way, you're all my BFFAEAEAEAEs. New slogan. It's all fun and games until someone loses an eye. Then it's just a game. Find the eye. What the hell?
Which is just like basically like a bumper sticker joke. Wow.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for sending those and being vulnerable.
Oh, wait. I think we have another one too. That I think is maybe the one that made me the most upset.
Oh, is this the one from Aaron?
From Aaron,
oh,
yes.
God.
who says, for a stretch in 2010 and 2011, I thought I was being very cute and funny by adding fake whimsical titles after my name on all my emails. I tried not to use the same one twice with a given recipient, but my favorite one at the time that I always used first with everyone was best Aaron W., gentleman balloonist. Wow, that is very bad.
I'm just like, I'm picturing the bow tie. It's there.
Yeah. I had a couple friends who would join in and add their own fake titles when they replied, but mostly it went uncommented upon, which is brutal. Some other selected sign-offs. Aaron W., purveyor of spices. Aaron W., mischievous marauder. Mm. Aaron W., mortician to the stars.
That's funny. I like that.
Aaron W., lemon sherbet enthusiast.
Aww.
Oh, wow. He says, I was 20 to 21 at the time and surely should have known better. But at that point, I treated every human interaction as an opportunity to do bits.
Yes, that's very relatable.
And he signed off the email, Aaron W., curator of finely aged embarrassment.
That one's so good. It's so good.
I'm honestly surprised that there isn't a raconteur in this
list. I know. He knew better. Marauder was just a little bit off that. I have one sleep talking story that I like. Hi, baby geniuses. I've been meaning to send you this story for ages, finally typing it out now. One night years ago, my then boyfriend, now husband, sat up in bed, seeming like he was in a hurry to be somewhere, saying, we gotta go. I asked, where do we have to go, babe? He said, to the panda showcase. I gently told him to go back to bed, and he did. But a panda showcase does sound like fun, TBH.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's go. We got to get there to get our rankings in.
It's like a 4-H club, but for pandas.
I wanted to say one other thing before we sign off, which is that, okay, it's Halloween. If you're listening to this when it comes out and you live in the United States, please vote in the midterm elections.
Please vote. Republicans are like totally getting in there and making things crazy. I mean, if you're Republican, you know, you're going to vote Republican. It's fine. You can listen to us. You're allowed. But most of you are probably not, I'm guessing, just based on our content.
Lisa does not speak for me, but
just based on our general vibe, you're probably not listening to this and a conservative, but who knows?
But who knows?
Vote for whoever you want, but please vote. It's important.
Please, please vote. Do some research on your local races. Look up your local progressive voting guides.
Yeah, a lot of people put a lot of effort into writing guides, and that makes it a lot easier for you and for me.
Yeah. I will also say that a lot of, like, if you are a progressive, a lot of times the local, like, Democratic clubs or whatever don't endorse the right people.
Yeah.
They foster longstanding relationships with entrenched career politicians who are corrupt. Do a bit more research than you maybe think you should, but find some local, like, progressive voting guides and do some of your own research. And please vote.
Yeah.
Vote for judicial candidates. If you have any, like, public defenders running for judicial seats, vote for them usually.
Yeah. My partner, Adam Conover, just posted a nice voting guide for LA voters. If you are looking for answers there, you can go to his Instagram at Adam Conover and find his guide. But yeah, do your own research as well and make your own decisions.
Please vote. There's a lot on the line this election.
Yeah, it's important.
And there's a lot that you can change just by voting in, like, local elections. Anyway, that's all. If you don't live in the U.S., congrats.
Must be nice.
We're a real mess right now.
Yeah, a lot of places are.
Yeah.
Yikes.
All right. That's our show. You can send us your embarrassing email sign-offs to babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me online. I'm at Mr. Emily Heller on most things.
I'm at Lisa Draws or Lisa Hannawalt, depending on the platform, but, you know.
Yeah. Are you going to leave Twitter now that Elon Musk owns it?
I don't know. I'm going to wait and see. I think I'm barely on there to begin with these days. Like, I only sign on, like, once a week right now. So yeah, I guess I'll wait and see if things could possibly get worse. I suppose they could.
I think they somehow can.
I think somehow, but yeah.
Maybe we'll all be free soon.
Maybe. See you all on Mastodon. I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go. Social media's dying.
Reddit, baby.
Oh, God.
Thanks to our producer, Rob Pera. Yay.
Yay. Thanks for our music, Nate Heller.
Yay. Hooray.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yay. Yay. Everything, baby geniuses, we know everything.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.